That's why I like when Sharon sings about this time of year. She's gonna come out with a new song somewhere or another. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. You pray for me. It's going to be an unusual Christmas message. You know, you preach the message when God tells you to preach it. Amen. You pray for me tonight, and I want to make sure I do this the way the Lord wants it. Amen. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being faithful. If you couldn't come tonight, you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. Thank you for being faithful. Amen. As I'm preaching tonight, I want you to examine self. Now, I'm going to kind of be preaching about Joseph, the perfect Christmas father, but our ladies can examine yourself too. Matthew chapter 2, look at verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, notice right here now, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother. Now, y'all notice that's four times that phrase has been uttered in these few verses here. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judah in the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into parts of Galilee. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask your hand to be upon us right now. God, you help me as I try to preach this. God, help me to preach this in love. God, to preach this in a way that you would be pleased, Lord. God, I pray, God, you would examine each and every one of us, God. Help us to examine ourselves, God. And whatever's done, we'll make sure you get all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And he took the young child and his mother. And he took the young child and his mother. You never see in this passage of Scripture, Joseph did not put one before the other. I want to preach a little while on the thought of the perfect Christmas father. Number one, he had been observed by God. God had watched him. God had seen him as he grew and watched him as he matured. And you know, I've said this over the last several weeks. You know, God chose this man to raise his son. God knew everything about this man. There's absolutely nothing about Joseph that God didn't know. Let me tell you something. You know, God knows everything anyhow. You know, it's hard for us to fathom that. It's hard for us to fathom the omniscience of God. We've all heard the phrase, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurred to God? God, I had a preacher one time, I heard a preacher one time, Wes, talking about, he said, and God thought. God didn't have to think. God don't have to think. He's all-knowing. So he knows everything about you and I. But don't you know, Brother Skip, if you're going to entrust your son, you're going to entrust the second part of the Trinity, a holy God, to someone, you're going to watch that person. God had observed this man. He knew everything about this man. God knows everything about you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 and 30 said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God knew his relationship with him. God knew that Joseph had a relationship with him. Him, I'm talking about God. God's not going to entrust someone to raise his son that don't have a relationship with him. So that tells us right there that Joseph was right with God. Joseph was where he needed to be with God. The Bible says in Nahum chapter 1 verse 7, the Lord is good, stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. Psalms chapter 1 verse 6, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. God knows right now, everybody in this building, God knows whether you're right with him or whether you're not right with him. You can fool the preacher. You can fool the deacons, you can fool the church family, you can fool your family, but you can't fool God. Amen. We can put on the show, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of show going on this time of the year. There's people going to church this time of the year that don't go to church at all. There's people going to church this time of the year that won't, you won't see them in church again for months and months and months. There's a lot of show going on. But God knows the heart, amen? God knows where you are right now. God knew his heart. God knew the inner workings, preacher. God knew his thoughts. God knew the intentions of his mind. God knew the intentions of everything about him. He knew why he did it. He knew why he went this way. He knew why he said this. He knew why he did that. God knew everything about him. There's some of us trying to fool God now. It ain't going to work. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10 said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. You are, hey, let me tell you something. God knows everything about you, and God's going to reward you according to your ways. Did you hear what I just said? You put on a show. You put on the show. You doing your best to fool everybody. The hammer's gonna fall. God don't play. God knew this man. John chapter 3, verse 20 says, for everyone that doeth evil and hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He knew how Joseph was going to treat his wife. He knew how Joseph was going to treat his son. He knew how Joseph was going to treat his family. God ain't going to allow a drunk to raise his son. Do you really think God's going to allow an adulterer to raise his son? Do you really think God's going to allow somebody that cusses like a sailor to raise his son? God knows our heart. God knows everything about us. And I'm just telling you right now, he knew everything about Joseph. He knows everything about you. What does the Bible tell us? You know, I've told you the story about the man at White Savannah. His name was Bo. We called him Bo. Some of y'all have heard me tell this before. Bo was faithful to church. Preacher, he was faithful to church. You know some of his family. He got up and started playing the banjo with the band and could play the banjo. Somebody come to me, said, and I was on the deacon board. Somebody come to me, said, you know Bo ain't saved. I said, what? Bo was as faithful as I was to church. He said, Bo ain't saved. So I went and talked to him. I said, if you're not saved, you can't be playing with the band. He said, I understand, Tim. I said, why ain't you saved, man? What's wrong? This is what he told me. He said, I go home after church, My daddy sits on that front seat and raises his hand and says amen and goes home and cusses my mama and chases my mama around with a knife. He said, if that man saved, I ain't got nothing to worry about. You know what the Bible says about offending a little one? Better a millstone be cast around your neck and cast into the ocean. That's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you, God knows every. You say, preacher, you preaching a mighty hard message on Christmas. It don't matter whether it's Christmas. It don't matter whether it's June the 6th. It don't matter whether it's December or February. God's still God, and God don't like playing. God don't like playing. So he knew everything about him. Bible 130, Psalms 139, verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. God had watched Joseph, and God is watching you and I. God had handpicked Joseph to raise his children, his son, and God handpicked you to raise your family. Do what you're supposed to do. Amen. Not only was he, had he been observed by God, he was obedient to the message. Now listen, Matthew chapter 1, the Bible tells us, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And listen, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Number one, he took her to be his wife. He loved her. He loved her before any of this happened. He had a love for her because he had asked her, I'm sure that in the Bible days this was probably a prearranged marriage. He loved her. He had already committed himself to her. She had already committed herself to him. He loved her with all his heart. Even though it looked like she had been unfaithful. Even though it looked like she had not been pure like she was supposed to be. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. God has called you to love your wife just like Jesus loved the church, and we know that Jesus died for the church. Jesus didn't put everything in the book ahead of the church. Jesus didn't put his job ahead of the church. Jesus didn't put hunting and fishing ahead of the church. Jesus didn't put golf ahead of the church. Jesus didn't put nothing ahead of the church. Jesus loved the church, and Jesus died for the church. Your wife is supposed to be your number one priority in your life. We're supposed to lift up our wives. We're supposed to lift up our spouses. We're supposed to be there and be for them all the time. When you see Jesus rebuke somebody in the New Testament West, he's rebuking the religious crowd. He ain't never rebuking the church because that was his bride. Joseph loved his wife. He was there from, understand something, when he made up his mind after that angel left, from that point on, she was number one. Before I got married, it was all about me. Some of y'all guys say amen right there. I know your wife's sitting so close to you, you ain't gonna say a whole lot. Some of y'all guys that your wife ain't in here, you ought to be shouting it out. Adam and Benji sitting back there on the back seat beside each other. So they ought to. But before I got married, it was all about me. It was all about me. But when I said I do, it ceased to be all about me. I needed to make sure that my wife was the number one priority in my life. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. Some of y'all ain't going to like this. When our kids came along, our kids were not the number one priority in our life. Some of y'all, I'm going to say that. Let me come on this side. Some of y'all ladies need to listen to what I just said. Just because you got a child, just because you've had a baby, that baby is not the number one priority in your life. The Bible, kind of funny story. Annie was over at the house yesterday, and she said, me and Mama, we was going to play a game or something. She said, me and Mama was going to play against you. I said, oh, no, you ain't. I said, that's my wife. I said, it's going to be me and Mama against you. I said, because the Bible don't never say, leave your mama and daddy and cling to your grandkids. The Bible don't never say, leave your mother and father and cling to your children. But it does say, when you leave your mother and father, you cling to your wife. Now, ain't it amazing? I like the Bible. I'm telling you, I believe God wrote it with a purpose, Gavin. Ain't no doubt everything's in there for a reason. The Bible don't never tell the wife to cling to the husband. But it says for that husband to cling to the wife. Had an old man I used to go to church with. A good guy, Preacher Billy Baker's brother, Johnny. You've heard of him. He always said, you know, he said, I told my wife one time, said, if you ever decide to leave, you better pack my bags too. I'm going with you. He said, the Bible says cling, glory to God, I'm clinging. He said, if you try to leave, I'm going to gnaw the tires off the car. You ain't going nowhere. That's what the Bible says. Your spouse is supposed to be number one in your life. Right behind God. There ought not be no question. My wife don't come before God, and I don't come before God in my wife's life. And as long as I got God number one, everything else will fall right in place. Amen? So Joseph had been observed. Also, Joseph was obedient. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being their heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Understand, I can see them. On the way, we've all seen the movies. I can see Joseph and Mary on their way to Bethlehem. He's got a little donkey, and I'm just the Bible don't say this, but you kind of see it. She's with child. We know that she's right there at 9 months, getting ready to have that baby. They're on their way to Bethlehem. He has got her setting up on that donkey, and he is walking. Some of our husbands would say, I think you've rode long enough. It's my turn. If that's your attitude, you a sorry joker. Get mad if you want to. I don't care. You can't treat your wife wrong and be right with God. You can't be wrong with people and be right with God. Folks, I'm just telling you, this thing's a lot more serious than what we think sometimes. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, husband, love your wife and be not bitter against him. I wonder how many times Joseph got around Mary. Just say, all right, we're 6 months out now. We're 6 months out. She's been showing the angels already come. Joseph and Mary getting a little fuss. Any of y'all married folks ain't never gotten a fuss? I got one honest man in the hope, and his wife is sitting beside him. I wonder, Adrian, if it kind of went like this. I wonder if Joseph ever said, "Hey, you was pregnant, and I decided to marry you anyway." I don't see that happening. Some of y'all need to let the past be the past. Some of y'all need to drop it and let it go. Now see, the problem is with men, we don't remember what happened last week. Problem is with y'all ladies, y'all don't forget nothing.
Amen. Amen.
Don't you start now. But you don't see him throwing it up in her face. You was pregnant, and I married you anyway. You know where you'd be without me? Oh, no. He loved her. He loved her. Listen to this. Now, this goes for the wives, too, now. Don't y'all ladies sit here and say, "Boy, that preacher's preaching on you good." Don't do that. Some helpful hints for a husband who wants to see his spouse experience God's best that were posted in a write-up called Daddy's Home by Greg Johnson. A husband can back off and give her a little space. A husband can be patient. Don't rush things. A husband can love her as you love your own body. That's going to take a little bit of work, because I know I like me. Affirm her role in the family. Now listen, you affirm her role in the family. Whether she works or whether she stays home, she's got the most important job in the world. She's raising your kids. That's the most important job in the world. Let me tell you something. Being a mama is more important than pastoring a church. Being a mama is more important than being president. God has entrusted you to raise that child. And husbands, we ought to be there for her. Pray for her as you've never prayed before. You know, David says this a lot in Sunday school. If you'll start praying for your enemies and pray and sincerely pray for them, when's the last time you actually prayed for your wife? Lower your expectations. Do the little things without expecting anything in return. Show her she's the most cherished woman on earth. She'll probably faint when you do that, but show her anyhow. Above all, persevere. Now you listen. Persevere. When you stood before God, you said, "Until death do us part." I don't know about y'all, but I'm in this for the long haul. Amen. Amen. I think Sister Diane, is it tomorrow? How many years? 60 years. My mom and dad is getting ready to come up on 60 years together. I want to be like that. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm telling you, Juwanna ain't going nowhere. If she packs up, I'm packing up too. Amen. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. A wise husband builds his mate's self-esteem, realizing that the subtle words and action of a sinful world constantly assault her a sense of self-worth. He remains sensitive to her needs and is always ready to offer his support. Joseph was obedient to the message. Now listen, Joseph was oblivious to the criticism. And don't you know he heard it? "You mean to tell me you marrying that girl? Have you lost your mind?" Now you know, Joseph, well, Ralph, Joseph, they couldn't go out and say, "Listen, she's carrying God." You imagine how that would have went? "An angel showed up in my house the other night and told me to marry her." Yeah. Oh, no. He had to sit there and take it.
He
Imagine this now. You're going to marry that girl, and she's already... How much did he love her? Even when he was going to divorce her, the Bible says he was going to put her away privately. He didn't want her to be shamed. He didn't want nobody to think bad of her. He didn't want nobody to say nothing bad about her. That's love, folks. He didn't care about the criticism. That was his wife. He didn't care about all that. That was his wife. You know, I can hear this. Maybe Gavin, somebody said, you know you can have her stoned. But he didn't. She ain't no good. But she was. And he knew it. He knew it. He knew what God had told him. I found this little illustration, and I'm going to come to a close. A couple married for 15 years began having more than usual disagreements. Listen to this now. They wanted to make their marriage work and agreed on an idea that the wife had. For 1 month, they planned on to drop a slip in a fault box. Don't any of y'all get no ideas? The box would provide a place to let the other know about daily irritations. The wife was diligent in her efforts and approach, leaving the jelly top off the jar. Was one of wet towels on the shower floor, dirty socks not in the hamper, on and on until the end of the month. After dinner at the end of the month, they exchanged boxes. The husband reflected on what he had done wrong. The wife opened her box and began to read. And they all said the same, I love you. Some of y'all would have jumped at the chance to write something. I heard a comedian one time say something. He was talking about stuff like this, and he said, I don't know why it upsets wives so much to have dirty pants on the floor or dirty socks on the floor. He said, just walk around it. Irritates my wife to death. But you know what? She knows I love her. So you know what I try to do? I try to pick them up. Don't fall out. Boy, that's rocket science there, ain't it? The Bible tells us, I read it to you, dwell with them according to knowledge. Mike, if you know something irritates her, don't do it. I mean, there you go. Gavin, if you know something gets on her nerves, don't do it. Olivia, if you know something gets on his nerves, don't do it. Now, let me tell you something. We all know the buttons. Every one of us in here has been married over 48 hours know the buttons to push. Don't push them. Think about that fault box. Like I said, a lot of us, if we're not careful, a lot of us would jump at the chance. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I got some stuff I need to write down. Let me ask you a question. Do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? There had to be something there. You got married. And if you love God like you're supposed to, it ought to work out. God gave me my wife. I thought about it today as I was studying this. We're quick to say, there ain't no love like a mother's love. And that's true. It is true. But my wife loves me more than my mother did, than my mother does. My wife has been with me for 37 years, married. She's cooked for me. She has cleaned for me. She has raised my children. She went to the point of death almost to bring my two children into this world. And I'm telling you right now, the least I can do is treat her like the queen that she is. I believe with all my heart. Now, Mary, can you imagine you married to the mother of God? That's a little higher standard than most of us. Don't you know he treated her like a queen? I want to be the perfect Christmas father. I want to live my life like I've been preaching tonight. Every once in a while, I get sidetracked. I get derailed. I go off the deep end. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but your preacher's honest. I ain't always up here preaching. Sometimes me and my wife fuss about things. But I can guarantee you one thing. I remember several years ago, we were still living in Conway. She and I were just kind of playing around, just kind of wrestling a little bit, you know, Jackie, We was in the house, and we was in the living room. She pushed me, I pushed her, you know, just kind of wrestling a little bit, and went in the bedroom. She kind of pushed me down on the bed, and I got up and pushed her down on the bed, and we kind of just somehow or another we made our way to the closet door, just kind of playing. And she stopped and cried. She stopped and got stopped dead still. I said, "What in the world's wrong with you?" She said, "You had a mean look on your face." I said, "Let me tell you something. I'll never put my hand on you to hurt you. You don't you ever worry about that again in your life. I'll never do that. Because I love you. Your wife is the best thing that ever happened to you." That was a perfect opportunity for all y'all dumb men to say, "Amen, preacher." And man, you could have went home and got some sugar tonight and everything. Oh, it'd have been a great Christmas. But no, I give you the perfect opportunity. Gavin, I give you the perfect opportunity. Amen. If you're going to preach that hard, you got to wind up with a laugh.